Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Welcome to Ethnically Ambiguous, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hi!
Hi, this is Anna.
And Shireen.
It's Ethnically Ambiguous.
And this is another episode with a lovely guest. This is a guest that we've been wanting on for a long time. We think she's hilarious. She's a joy to be around. It's Dana Donnelly!
Yes!
We talk about her life, obviously, how she got into comedy, her family, her sister is wild. It's wild. She eats glass.
And it's a great episode. We talk about a lot. We talk about food. Eating, dieting, eating. How that works, grandmas who think that the BMI scale is too generous. If you like Dana Donnelly, you are going to love this episode. So stay tuned.
Who are we? Where did we come from? Who do we become? What is it to be? What to be is it? Where are we? Who are my parents? Where are my pants? Why were we born? We are Ethnically Ambiguous.
Hi, Shireen.
Hi, Anna.
Happy 2020.
Happy 2020. It's been 2020 for you guys for a while.
But this is the first episode we are recording in 2020, which is
nice. Yeah. It's been a weird time away from the mic for me.
Weird time away from the mic. We have a guest.
We do have a great guest.
Yeah, we do.
I've been obsessed with this person for a long time. Daily
Zeitgeist
fans. Secretly
or knowingly?
Knowingly, because I said her tweet was the tweet of the week when I was on Zeitgeist last time.
Oh.
Yeah.
Nice.
So I think she's hilarious.
I believe you.
Like, not the time where you forced me into the studio. The time before that. Where I
forced you into this. How dare you? Okay,
it was more Jack than anything else. It doesn't matter.
I guess I did. I was kind of like, Shireen's here. Make her do it. That's whenever I try and get out of hosting being involved myself.
Yeah. The point is, I think she's hilarious. She makes me laugh every time I go on Twitter, which is what we need in 2020.
I think you're my most likes. I'm always like, Dana.
Oh my God!
Oh, wait, should I introduce you?
1, 2, 3. Dana Donnelly.
Woo! Thank you guys so much.
I fucking love your case.
Oh, thank you.
That's a cool Bernie Sanders phone case.
Thank you.
Heck yeah, she's progressive, man.
All the hot chicks like Bernie Sanders. That's how you know it's real.
That's why you have to get on board.
Yeah. Emily Ratajkowski can get behind.
Oh, Emrata.
I kept thinking her name was Emma because of her handle.
I mean, she's been a Bernie supporter forever.
Yeah.
She's 2016.
Yeah. Bernie. OG. Mm-hmm. I feel like an OG because I filmed one of his rallies back then in Arizona and I was like really into it and but then it was sad.
Oh, yeah.
But then it was sad.
There was some downhill.
And then I really got mad at the Bernie bros that refused to vote for Hillary. And I was just like, isn't that what Bernie wants, man? But regardless, we're not here to talk about politics. We're here to talk about you.
Oh, my gosh.
So we met when you came to do Daily Zeitgeist.
Yes.
But before that, I think I literally was just following you on Twitter. And then we would always talk about your tweets in the office. Mm-hmm. And there's this one that I say to Miles Gray to this all the time, one of your tweets, which was, when he breaks up with me, that's a deal breaker, which is, I don't know why, it's the funniest thing I've ever heard. And it just kills me. Yeah. And I always say that to Miles, like, well, if he breaks up with me, that's a deal breaker. We just say it back and forth.
I'm so glad.
Yeah, you inspired you internalized a culture that. In our office.
You're legendary. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Because it's real, you know.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
It's a deal breaker. But, yeah, thank you so much for coming.
Yeah, thank you for having me on. I love the concept.
I know. I mean, like, what a life. Looking at you, you are meant for the show. You're ethnically ambiguous.
I know.
Can we start there? Let's start, like, where your parents are from.
So my mom is from the Philippines, and then my dad's just, like, a white guy.
Yeah. Classic.
Yeah, but I, like, you know, I get, like, I think my whole life, like, people think I'm, like, different things. So yeah. I was like, oh.
The question of what are you is probably pretty standard.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, no one knows.
What do you get the most?
It really depends. I used to get Mexican more, mm-hmm. and as I've gotten older, I get it less. But, like, mm-hmm. I think a lot of anyone who is Filipino knows I'm Filipino. Mm-hmm. But I also get, like, other, like, Southeastern Asian kind of stuff, like Thai and, like, Vietnamese even. Yeah. But,
That's funny because anyone with a white dad can get away with a lot more, because if you had, like, a very obvious some type of ethnicity name,
right,
with
exactly.
your last name, it would be more obvious. But you can blend right in.
Yeah, no, I know. It's great. I mean, when I started, like, writing and stuff, like, I had, like, people tell me to, like, use my mom's maiden name so that it's, like, more obvious that I'm, like, not white.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. I, like my name.
Yeah. And you shouldn't have to be like, hey, guys, hire me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm of color.
You shouldn't have to prove your, like, importance based on, like, being a token.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So your writing speaks for itself.
I know. It's hilarious.
Thank you so much.
And that's not a deal breaker. Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much.
And that's our show.
I'm done. Shereen will take the rest.
Where did your parents meet?
My parents met in college, so they're both from, like, here. Like, my dad was born in Thousand Oaks, and my mom, she immigrated from the Philippines when she was, like, 6 years old. Oh. But then she, like, grew up mostly in Diamond Bar and Walnut, like, in San Bernardino County. And then they met at Cal Poly Pomona. And then it just kind of happened.
So you're an LA kid?
No. So they're from here. And then my dad joined the Navy. And then he ended up going to Stanford Business School in the Bay Area. Oh. And so I grew up in Palo Alto because he stayed there after he finished business school.
Whoa. Yeah. California.
How was Palo Alto?
Super weird.
But really?
So, like, I mean, it's just like, so I was born in, like, 1995. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I lived there most of my life, but just, like, seeing it change from, like, the mid 90s, like, because of the internet boom was, like, super crazy, because it was, like, always kind of, like, a very, like, suburban college town. Mm-hmm. And now it's, like, very metropolitan in a way that's, like, very funny.
It's so tech weird. Tech city.
Yeah. Super techy.
All of the, well, every city in that area is, like, tech city now, it feels like.
Yeah.
Wow. Palo Alto is a very interesting place to me. I guess this is kind of sad, but, like, because I grew up in the Bay Area, too. East Bay. Like, kind of like Berkeley, Oakland. Just in that little, like, El Cerrito little hub. And, like, South Bay was, like, rich. That's how we saw it. Even though, like, Bay Area is all rich. It's all very expensive. Mm-hmm. But,
yeah, it's all crazy.
Yeah,
it's all insane. But, yeah.
Yeah, we had such a weird view of, like, South Bay because we were like, that's where all the rich kids are and they have money for drugs. And then we had, like, such a weird view. We're like, if you want to, like, really party, you got to, like, date someone from, like, South Bay. And then, but none of it made any sense. It was just, like, weird delusions of our, like, young selves.
I mean, I feel like because I grew up in Palo Alto and I went to, like, public school in Palo Alto, we always thought, like, the rich kids, like, lived in Atherton. Like, obviously, everyone in Palo Alto was, like, so rich. It's crazy. But, like, I remember we'd go to, like, these Atherton parties, and these kids would, like, were, like, so rich, like, beyond our comprehension. Mm-hmm. And, like, they'd just, like, leave out, like, literally, like, quarter ounces of weed, and, like, you could like, take it. Like, they don't. Yeah. And I remember I had a fake ID in high school, and these kids would give me, like, $400 every weekend to get, like, literally, like, 3 30 racks and 2 handles, and I could get whatever I wanted, so I'd pocket, like, $350, like, every weekend. Yeah.
Wow.
And that's just a good,
like,
gig.
Yeah. But, like, to me, I'm like, those are rich kids. Like, that's, you guys are crazy, but.
That's the true scam. Mm-hmm. You gotta scam the rich kids who just want stuff from you.
You have to scam the really rich kids. Yeah. That's like the rich scamming the rich.
Yeah. But like even their parents don't.
No one knows. They probably don't notice. Yeah.
They're like, wow, this beer is like really expensive.
Right. They have no idea. They don't concept care.
What, like, what's the analogy? Like what a carton of milk.
Yeah, well, it's like the Arrested Development joke where Lucille Liu's like, how much can a banana cost? Banana costs $10. Yeah. Like, it's like,
yes,
right.
Yeah,
that's funny.
Yeah, that is really funny. So, okay, Palo Alto.
Yeah.
Do you have any siblings?
I have two siblings. I have a younger brother. He is like 21, I think. And then my sister lives with me. She's 18.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I had a phase when I lived with my sister, too.
Really? How'd it go?
I have two sisters, and I lived with each of them. It was great.
Yeah.
I mean, we got into a lot of fights. We were sisters, but I miss those times now.
Oh.
Yeah, it was
fun. How was that, living with your sister?
It's really interesting. She, like, just... like really moved in. Uh-huh. But it's good. I mean, like, I really like her. Like, we get along really well. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is like weird to like live with like an 18-year-old.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, like I'm not your parent, but like everything you do seems weird to me. Cause like in my head, you're so young.
Yeah.
But I guess like.
Did she just finish high school?
She dropped out of high school like last year, but she got her GED and now she's going to community college. And I think she like wants to like be an actress or like, I don't know.
The LA dream.
Wait, does your sister do something?
Yeah, she, well, that's, like, kind of why my mom, like, let her drop out of high school was because she started making these ASMR videos on Instagram, like, maybe last year, time last year.
I've seen you tweeting about it. Yeah. I didn't really know
and then
what.
She, so she would, like, eat deodorant and, like, just, like, random things. And she, like, was going,
what?
Like, that's she was going super viral Shereen? Really consistently. So
actually
she was,
eat
like,
deodorant?
I mean, look, for views. Like,
but you're out here, like, how can I become famous?
Look, okay, I have a story about eating deodorant, actually.
You ate deodorant?
When I was a kid. So, I didn't know English really
should've
well
filmed it.
As a kid. And I would, back then my mom used this brand of Secret. It was, like, white powder Secret deodorant. And I would... lick it because I was an idiot and I just like probably had some type of damage
you should
done.
Have been filming
but
it.
My mom saw white stuff on my face one day and in my mouth and I didn't know what the thing was called because I couldn't read. And she was like, Shereen, what's in your mouth? And I said, it's a secret, thinking I was being sneaky. And then she realized it was a secret deodorant because
so
I. That's just.
Can you eat? Is that okay to eat deodorant?
No, it's
no
extremely
idea.
Toxic.
No, it's really toxic. She didn't swallow it. So she would. She had like camera. She had like stuff that she did. So it was like she chewed two real sticks of deodorant and then the third one was like cream cheese, I think, that she put in the stick. But it's the kind of thing where you aren't suspecting it once you like have confirmed it's real. Like that's why people put a real plant in the front of their house and then all the other plants are fake.
Oh my god, that's genius.
That's just like that basically. Wow. But a lot of her videos were kind of like used that tactic where it's like at first she would like chew it but whatever she swallowed was like food.
These kids are smart.
She's a magician.
Yeah. No, she's like really great. She like had her whole like filming studio set up. She like she's amazing. But she was doing that for a while and she was like eating makeup and like glass and I think she got like some like
brain dip.
She like made it with sugar rocks.
Okay,
she's like
okay.
And then did blood capsules.
Holy
she's like very
shit.
Yeah, she's
but
very
people
creative.
People really believe she's doing
it. Yeah, because it looks really real.
Yeah.
Like if you watch them, the production value is like really high and they're like they look really crazy.
What did your parents think about this?
Yeah.
I think my mom's like really supportive. My mom's like, my dad's dead, but my mom like is very like, she like would help her figure out ways to like make them. I think my mom helped her make fake Tide Pods to eat.
Okay.
This is crazy because I was going to ask you what your mom thinks about you doing comedy, but this is crazy. This is like,
yeah.
Way crazy.
She doesn't approve of comedy, but she's like, hey, man.
She's very anti what I'm doing, but she's really into this. Exactly. So, no, my mom like is so supportive. She thinks it's so cool.
That's amazing. Amazing.
Yeah, well, because I think she also, she's, you know, first generation American or whatever. And so she, like, I don't think, like, any of these things were even, like, in her mind, like, a possibility at all.
No.
And so, like, then the fact that she, like, now has the resources to, like, kind of, like, help us do what we want, I think is, like, really cool to her.
That's amazing.
And, like, yeah.
And she's still in the Bay Area?
And she's still in the Bay Area right now, but I think she wants to move down. Like, after my sister moved down.
What if you all live together?
I really want to, honestly.
Beautiful.
Like, it's, like, kind of a weird thing because it's, like, well, I'm 24. And I, like, want to live with, like, my mom and my sister. But
I think that's beautiful. Yeah. I would love to live with my mom right now.
It's, like, fun. Also, my mom, like, whenever she comes, she, like, does stuff for me. Like, my car got broken into and she, like, got my window replaced, you know?
Nice.
It's, like,
that's what parents
so
do.
So helpful. Yeah, they just do.
Yeah.
Labor. Got one.
So what did you, when your sister was starting to do this, like, how did you feel where you're like, what is going on?
Oh, I literally thought it was so cool. Because I think the first video she posted got her, like, just like she ate honeycomb, which like isn't even
Like,
it's edible.
Yeah. But there's a whole like it's a really specific like niche on Instagram called honeycomb mukbang, and so she ate honeycomb and like. Because it's, like, specific enough but also, like, has enough of a following, she, like, really, like, I think got reposted a bunch. And so she got, like, 10,000 followers just from that. Just from that. And then from there, she started, like, eating weirder and weirder stuff. And, like, she, like, I think she got, like, 300,000 followers in, like, maybe, like, a month.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it was, like, so quick.
That's wild.
The kids are smart these days.
Dude, they know what's up.
I'm here like, maybe I'll write something.
I'm still trying to figure out TikTok. Like, yeah.
But then, like, she decided at some point she didn't want to keep eating weird stuff. And also all of her videos kept getting flagged.
Oh, really?
For being, like, dangerous or something?
For being, like, dangerous, for poison. I don't know. She, like, yeah, she was getting flagged. She was getting, like, demonetized on YouTube.
Oh,
and so she, like, kind of, like, lost momentum. And she's also really young. She's a teenager.
Yeah.
And she, like, doesn't – she, like, obviously is, like, a little lazy. Just by virtue of like being 18, and she kind of just like stopped doing it, and I don't really know what she is doing now, but
that is crazy.
Yeah,
let's go back to you really quick.
We'll come back to her.
When you were in high school,
what
did you think of doing with your like? I mean, this is so lofty, but like with your life, like did you like comedy at the time? Were you interested in expressing yourself in any way? Or?
Yeah, so when I was 16, I read Mindy Kaling's book, Is Everyone Hanging Out Me?
Yeah, I think
it's called Yeah, and that kind of like. Was the first thing that put into my mind, oh, like, I can, like, write for TV. Like, that's, like, something that people do.
Yeah.
And then in college, I didn't go to college for, like, film or anything, but in college I met my former writing partner. My freshman year, I went to school in, like, Washington State at, like, a small liberal arts school, and no one there, like, wanted to do film. And she, like, heard me talking about how I wanted to, like, write for TV, and she's from here.
Oh, wow.
And so to her, that's, like, something that she's always, like, been interested in. And we started writing together, and we... Our junior year of college, like, got together, like, a pilot and a spec. And then our senior year, we submitted them to all the writing fellowships. And then we got the HBO writing fellowship, like, right out of college. So then we moved down here to do that.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
That must have been so validating.
Oh, so validating. Well, because it's, like, it's so easy to get discouraged with this kind of thing. Because it's, like, no one's reading. No one reads anything.
I've been here for, like, 7 years and I'm discouraged every day. So that's incredible.
No, it was, like, really good, like, immediate, like, validation. But then it's like it also was like we came out here, we like developed a pilot with an HBO exec for a year. It's like what the program is. And then like nothing even really came of it. And so then that was like also kind of like this thing where it's like, oh, like it is still like there's no clear path still. Like, and then I started never thought I would do stand up really. And then I just kind of was getting frustrated because I think it's really hard to like write in a vacuum and like. Yeah, you're, like, constantly working towards something that you don't know if anything will ever come of it or if anyone will even read it. And so I started going to, like, open mics, I think, in, like, February of this last year of 2019. Yeah, and then, like, that kind of, like, was really what hit for me. And I was like, oh, like, I can just, like, write jokes and then tell them to people and people will, like, get to hear them.
And then when did you start tweeting?
I mean, I've been tweeting forever. Like, for as long as I can remember. I've been on Twitter since, like, 2011. But I think I started really trying to write, like, funny tweets maybe, like, 2017 or 2018. And then once I started stand-up, I became, like, more incentivized to write funny tweets because I had more friends who had followings. And so it was just, like, I was finally, like, getting, like, retweets that were, like, actually getting my tweets, like, seen by people. And so then, like, once I kind of, like, got into that rhythm, I like would just like would tweet a lot more and also was like working a lot harder to make them like as funny as possible.
When you were writing, well, I guess you are writing still, but like was your stuff comedic or was it more,
I was like very half hour sitcom, like jokey, like very I really like 30 Rock, like stuff like that.
So it kind of made sense to go into comedy in a
way. Like definitely like I always knew that I wanted to like be funny, but I think I didn't really know like that I wanted to perform, nor did I like really ever see myself like doing stand-up specifically.
And did you ever like tell or talk to your mom about this and be like, hey, I think I'm gonna do this, like was she just kind of like go for it?
Oh yeah, my mom has always been like super into it, kind of. Like she's very like, oh yeah, do whatever.
So what did your parents do when you were growing up?
My dad worked in tech, standard.
Palo
Alto-y job. And my mom was a stay-at-home mom.
Nice, okay. Mm-hmm. So, how were you raised? Were you raised just kind of like they were down to encourage you, or was there any like strictness?
I don't know. It's weird because I'm an oldest child. So, how they were with me is like really not how they were with like my sister, you know?
Yeah.
And with me, I think they were like a little stricter, but I think there also was always this kind, like they were kind of like hands off in most ways, I think.
Yeah. Well, they probably gave you freedom to even like, I don't know, like read Mindy Kaling's book and be like, oh, this is a possibility.
My dad, like when I read it, like my dad also read it. And then he was also like, oh, you should write for TV. That's cool.
That's amazing.
So I think definitely like they were more supportive than like probably most people's
that
parents.
Is, I mean.
Yeah, that's incredible. Yeah.
My parents are still not supportive.
This is past Thanksgiving.
I'm like, you got to read Mindy Kaling's book.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, look, that's what turned it for my dad. He was like, this is a job. She's cool.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Mm. Yeah, just this past Thanksgiving, my uncle and my mom talked about why I'm not in law school. So it's never too late for your parents to still be disappointed in you. Okay. Well, so you're in LA at this point.
Yeah.
And you're tweeting. You're doing comedy. Do you feel like there's still like your main passion is writing, or have you veered more into like this comedic space as a performer? Or do you think they're kind of even?
Honestly, like since I started performing, I think like that's become a new like focus kind of where it's like previously I think my goal was to just like be staffed like on a writer in a writer's room, like writing on a sitcom. And I think like now it's like not that I wouldn't want to be staffed, I would, because I think there's so much like that I could learn, and I think I would have a really good time doing it. But like more and more I'm like, oh, like I want to like perform, and I'm like really pursuing acting in a way that like is just like so funny to me, because I like never even like it never crossed my mind as something that I could or would do.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's cool. What does your brother do? Is he just
my brother?
Is he also viral?
No. He gets a lot of top comments on YouTube because he's really mean. That's his. That's his viral.
He's just a monster.
Yeah, he's a little snarky, but he is like very computery and really into like Japanese stuff. So he just does that. I think he wants to do like VR.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Is he also in LA?
He goes to UC Santa Cruz.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was like,
I like this little family. We know everything about your family now.
I know. It's great. I really just laid it out there.
We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with Dana.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, and Two Door Cinema Club.
And we're back.
Wild break.
Wild. So, learned about your family, learned about your mom and your sister and your brother. Can I ask about your dad?
Yeah, what about him?
How did he pass?
He was run over by a car on his bicycle.
Oh my God.
Holy shit,
yeah.
Are you?
Yeah, isn't that horrible? By someone I know.
What? Wait,
yeah, I know.
Holy
okay,
shit.
Let's unpack that a little.
Wait, that was not the answer. I don't know what I was expecting, but Jesus.
It happened in 2015, so I was 20.
Are you in Palo Alto?
Yeah, I mean that he died in Palo Alto, yeah. Or like,
are you okay with talking about it?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that is tragic.
Yeah, it's like the definition of like a tragic death.
Did he like ride his bike like to work and stuff?
Oh no, he like was just like he did like road biking. Like it's like a very Bay Area activity.
Yeah. I was like
extremely like they all do it.
Yeah.
They all do
they're
it.
Always,
they're
like,
all
in the road too.
Everyone's favorite social media is like Strava, which is just like this app where they track your bike rides. Like that's like their whole thing. But yeah, and it was like a ride that he like did all the time. But
holy shit! Mm-hmm. And who's this person that you knew?
Just like a kid I went to high school with.
Wow.
Yeah,
I know.
So it's just like a freak accident.
Yeah, basically more or less. Yeah, it's pretty insane.
Alarming.
I know.
Wow. When did you find out it was someone you knew?
Maybe like a week after it happened, because I think they like released parts of the report and stuff like that.
Holy shit. Yeah.
Have you interacted with them since?
No.
Wow. Could you imagine?
That's insane.
Hey, sorry about your dad. Like, what do you even say?
I know.
I'm so sorry for your loss.
Yeah, thank you. As well. Yeah, yeah.
That's really sad.
Yeah. It's like really weird.
I mean,
what are you going
to
do?
Not to laugh, but like, wow.
It really is just like, oh, you just don't know like what could happen at any moment.
Yeah.
Did that change anything in you? Like, were you like, this
I mean, I think like definitely it's made it more important for me to like find a way to like make sure I'm enjoying every day.
Yeah.
And I think like my mom and I talk about this a lot, but like just like not like quote unquote like future tripping. Like there's really no sense. Like obviously you have to like live like there is a tomorrow. Like you can't just like do whatever you want every day. But I think just kind of like worrying about things that may not even happen, I think I like don't really anymore. Like I literally think it's like lowered my anxiety a lot, because it's also just kind of like I'm in a frame of mind where like it's very like, oh, is it like life or death? And then it's like, no, like it'll be fine.
Wow.
I guess, yeah.
I guess there was a silver lining.
Yeah, I think I really just like reframed the way that I think about everything.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you feel like it happened with your whole family? Like everyone was kind of like, fuck it, let's just live our lives and not.
Yeah, I think my mom definitely, like you can see like just like a drastic change in how she like lives and operates. And I don't really know about my brother that much. We're not that close. It's like hard to tell.
No, brothers or whatever.
Yeah, brothers are weird. And then my sister's always like been very like carefree. I think it's a very youngest child.
Yeah. Yeah, I can relate.
Eating deodorant.
Or not me personally, but my younger sister is very like just
right.
Does anything.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they really do anything.
Yeah.
They'll
get away with
to.
It.
Right, yeah.
Your sister eats glass.
Exactly. My sister deodorant. Literally, yeah.
She eats glass.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm going to eat some glass. There's whatever, man.
Wow.
That's a really funny thing to come out of it. Yeah. Is, you know, my sister now eats glass.
Yeah.
But she's very viral.
So
people love it.
You and your sister might be going out for the same roles.
I mean, yeah, she's not wrapped yet. So I have a head start.
Oh, okay, good.
I'm just kidding. It's like literally like she'll like see my auditions. She'd be like, I'd be so good for that. Can you tell them about me? I'm like, no.
Like, absolutely not.
No, I mean, like my manager and my agent like know about her. So yeah, they don't want to sign her. So.
Do you guys look similar?
We don't look that similar, but we like... We look related.
Yeah, right.
So you don't.
That's how I feel about my siblings. I don't think we look that similar at all. But, but we're like around each other. We kind of all sound the same. And
yeah, we definitely have like the same voice.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that
which is
so,
a big part of it.
It's so weird to me because I realize we're also related. Obviously, we're all related. But like when we're around strangers and we're all talking, I can see them all looking at us, being like, "They're all the same like voice."
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so weird. But I don't think we actually physically look that.
You guys
similar.
Look somewhat alike.
I think
you
we look
all
like cousins.
Have,
I think we look like
yeah,
cousins.
Yeah, I think
my
people tell me that me and my sister look like cousins.
Yeah,
and I think it's weird because I think so many siblings look so alike that it's like we don't look so alike.
Yeah.
You know. No, me and my siblings, none of us.
You don't look.
I
alike.
Always like joke someone's not from mom and dad.
I mean, that was a joke for me. Everyone joked that I was adopted.
Do you not look like your parents?
No, Shireen looks like an exact replica of both her parents combined.
I don't see it.
We'll show you.
Because my older sister gets hurt my mom, mm-hmm. and then my younger sister always gets more like my dad. And
I can
then
see
they're
that.
Just me.
You are a combo of both, though.
Yeah, but no really one ever says that to me. No one ever. No,
I say it to you all the time.
No, what I mean, like,
do you want me to text you every day?
No,
you are both your parents.
God, family's weird. I don't know.
Huh. I look a lot like my mom.
I look a lot like my mom.
Yeah.
Like, well, and especially as I get older, like, yeah. I'm like, oh my God. Like, and my mom, like, is addicted to working out. Like, she's, like, really addicted to exercise. Wow. But every time I, like, put on workout clothes, I'm like, oh my God.
You're your mom. Immediately, like, your mom.
Oh, no, mom.
Oh my God, imagine when you all live together and you guys can all work out together and go on auditions
God.
Together.
Oh yeah. My God. Oh my God.
And be cast.
Yeah, everyone will be like, are you guys sisters?
My mom, like, wants to be an actress now.
Oh
like,
my God. I cannot wait for this reality show where
do
you all you guys live together in the same house.
Be real, do you have a young hot mom?
She's not young. She's 55. She has a really good body, but she refuses to dye her hair. So she like is gray.
I mean, that's hot.
In a
Silver
way,
Fox.
Yeah.
And gray is like in people, you'll never know. Yeah. Because people like just have gray hair. You're like,
yeah.
Okay.
Like, all right.
You're
cool.
15.
I like gray hair. I think it's like this like regal thing.
It mm-hmm. There is something to it. Yeah, yeah. It's very.
Yeah. My parents dye their hair and they look absurd. My dad's like,
How
jet
old is he?
Black hair. He's like 70.
Oh my God.
His jet black hair. You're funny. Like, what are you hiding?
I didn't realize that about your dad.
You thought he was just naturally
just
like
about it.
Great
never,
jeans.
I never thought about it, really. My like, dad refuses
wait,
to
it,
do anything.
Aren't there like those products that's like Touch of Gray or whatever where
oh,
it's
yeah.
like you dye like only some of your hair?
Huh.
So yeah, there is. Like it's a little
less
stripe.
Gray, right. But it's like
yeah, my
more
dad's
natural.
Not doing that. Okay. My dad's like weird mafioso slick black gray black
who's,
hair.
Who's the guy in the Supreme? Sopranos that has the wings, like the, what's it called? It's like, he just has gray on the very side.
Well, Polly Walnuts has that.
Yeah, yeah. That's what
but
was.
My dad's more like Steve Van Zandt style, like just
that's hilarious.
Still dyeing his hair like jet black for no reason.
It's like the upkeep.
Yeah, yeah you're like, what are you tricking?
Yeah.
Like,
no, my
we
dad,
all know your age.
That's so funny. My dad
also,
lost
you
his
like
hair.
Are like, he's always acting like he's broken down, and you're like, okay, sir, stop dyeing your hair. You must just lean in.
Just lean into the old.
Yeah. He's always like, my back. And I'm like, okay, like, just, there's no point. Like, my mom, I get it. She's like young, vital. Yeah. She's living her life. But like, her hair is also just, it's like light brown and like highlighted. Like, it looks more natural than like my dad, who's
where
like,
yeah. like one color.
An older man.
Yeah. Like, that's really funny.
But my mom's really like a lot, not a lot younger than my dad, but definitely he's got some age on her because
he
liked a younger lady.
Our dads are like opposites. Like, my dad lost his hair, most of his hair, like a while ago, and he refuses to do anything about it. Doesn't like, my mom would like try to convince him to like dye his beard or something, because they look like even though they're only 2 years apart, they look like there's a huge difference. And because my mom takes really good care of herself,
yeah,
and,
yeah
like,
your mom is like
looks
babe.
Very young. She's 60 and looks hotter than me, and it's crazy. She knows she's the hottest one in the family.
She's got good highlights.
Her hair is like mermaid hair, and then there's my dad, who just like ages naturally and doesn't like do anything about it. But then when you look at them together, it's just like sometimes I think people assume that my dad's a lot older, but he's just like a normal guy, you know.
He's just 60
embraces the
man.
Age.
Yeah,
embraces the age.
Yeah, my dad's just like, oh, jet black hair. I'm being so mean. He's probably listening, just like what. Like, he's always on, he only listens on the treadmill. So he's probably like, no, look at me. I'm on a treadmill at the gym. Babes are all over me. Okay, well, enough about our parents' hairstyles. So, like, growing up, like, how much of, like the Filipino culture, like, influenced you?
Like, okay, culturally, like, basically nothing. Like, yeah. I feel like because my mom doesn't even speak, like, Tagalog at okay. all. Because she moved here when she was six, and she just, like, didn't care to, like,
yeah.
keep.
She's like, I'm in America.
Keep the language, yeah, yeah. And her parents were very, like, okay, yeah, you're, like, in America. Like, yeah. that's fine. But... like, I think it's, like, I hung out with my grandparents a lot, like, my cousins a lot. I think it's, like, my cousins were always, like, oh, they're the white kids, or do you know what
yeah,
I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's,
yeah,
like,
sure.
we're not, but, like, they're, like, okay, like, whatever.
Yeah.
And then it's, like, really weird, because, so I grew up in Palo Alto, and, like, I mean, the Bay Area is not, like, so diverse, but it also is. Like, it's
there's a lot. I grew up with a ton of Filipinos.
So I grew up with so many, kids. Like, not Filipinos, but, like, a lot of different Asians, and also a lot of mixed kids, like, a lot of, like, half white, half whatever kids. And so I didn't really even, like, it didn't really, like, I didn't think about it that much. Like, yeah. It just wasn't, like, a part of, like, my experience at all. Like, I never felt othered in any real mm-hmm. way. And then I went to college in Washington State. And I think my college was, like, 84% white.
Holy which college shit. You go to?
And Washington is one of, the, like, the whitest states.
Yeah.
I went to the University of Puget Sound, which is okay. just, like, a liberal arts school in Tacoma. But, like, and then it was kind of, like, there that I kind of realized, like, oh, like, I'm, like, not white.
Yeah.
Well, it's also because people probably treated you that you weren't white. Because they don't look at you and they're, like, they probably are, like, oh, she's not like us. So
right. Yeah. But it's, like, for the first time in my life that was the case. Because I think that's, like, no one in my high school ever, like, I never felt weird. And then it was, like, these, like, this kind of thing where, like, slowly I would be in classes and I'd realize, like, oh, I'm literally the only, like, not white person here.
Yeah.
And it was, and people, like, ask me my opinion on, like, racial things. And I'm like, I don't, what? Like, what? But it's, like.
I'm white.
Yeah. I'm, like, I don't know what you're, yeah. But it's, like, it was very, very interesting to, like, realize, like, that late in life.
Yeah.
And kind of, like, take on that kind of, like, like, oh my God, like, I'm not white, and, like, white people suck. You know? Like, I don't know, but, like, to, like, realize that, like, so late, it was, like, super weird, kind of.
Yeah. What led your grandparents to immigrate to America?
My grandpa got a scholarship, I think, to study agricultural economics in Virginia.
Oh, nice.
And then he got a different, like, professorship for my grandma, and then that's, yeah.
So they were both just... Academics,
yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Wow.
They taught at Cal Poly Pomona. Mm-hmm. It's like,
oh, okay. Yeah, so is that why your mom went there?
Yeah, I think it was just, like, free.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's definitely a perk.
Yeah, they're, like, very, like, my grandpa, like, really doesn't like the Philippines, but.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the American dream.
That's I think many people it's, came like, here very, to, very, very much the American dream.
I think my neighborhood... But my school was also mostly Filipino. I don't know why.
That's so
my school was also that way, but I was in San Diego. So I don't
where know. In San Diego?
Like Rancho Penasquitos.
Oh, I lived in Del Mar for like 4 years.
Oh, really?
I was in elementary school, yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah, I went to most of my schooling was in San Diego. But yeah, we had a lot of Filipino kids. Like the biggest club in our school was the like Filipino cultural club.
That's so funny.
I feel like that's the culture, like the Asian culture I'm most familiar with because like my neighbors were Filipino. Like everyone I hung out with was Filipino. So I don't know. I never even really thought about it. That's it's so like funny. Why is there such a about large it either. Swath Filipino. Of Filipinos? In
I never
this
thought
area?
About it either. And then I. Like went to Davis and there was like I guess I just didn't think about it until someone was like
it's always like a white person points it out and you're
exactly
oh,
you're like, sure. And it's like weird because it's like I don't think I really even knew that many Filipino people growing up. Like I knew like enough where I didn't feel weird but
Well, how did it feel being, like, the white cousin? Because, I mean, Anna can relate to being, like, the American cousins a lot.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's just, like, a lot of, it's mostly, like, my cousins do, like, just make fun of us.
Right, yeah.
But also for other reasons that are probably not cultural. I think it's, like, we're also just, like, we're, like, you know the concept of, like, the fancy cousins?
Mm-hmm.
So we're, like, the fancy cousins. And so I think, like, that a lot of it came from, like, that. And then, like, to them, we're, like, the Addams Family.
You guys are, like, a little
like,
creepy.
No, they, like, would literally call us the Autumn family. Like,
because your sister's, like, chewing on glass.
We're like, actually, it all points out.
We're, like, we're, like, a little kooky. Like, they're, like, they're weird.
Yeah, that's hilarious. I mean, your sister's proven them right every day.
She's eating makeup online, I think we're also very, like, we're both very, like, out there, and we're also really, like, I think rude in a... Like, how would you define it?
You're, like, blunt.
We're very blunt. We're, like, very loud.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I feel like Middle Easterners, at least in my experience, are very blunt and, like, not like, to each other. I think, like, to a white person's face, they're probably just, like, the most polite people ever. But, like, behind closed doors, like, the first thing they say to you when you walk in is, like, you got fat. And you're like, thanks.
Yeah, I'm aware.
That's such a any culture that's, like, not white, people are, like, constantly commenting on your weight. It's
absurd.
Psychotic. No, my grandma literally, like, just... I don't, like, thinks I'm so fat. Like, it's just, like, so funny. But it's, like, do you know what I really mean? It's, like, okay, so like, stupid. I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
And they say it so directly that it's, like, they don't even realize how insulting it is.
No, they literally just go, like, oh, you got fat.
Yeah.
Or, like, oh, you, like, or, like, she'll also do the other thing where she goes, oh, you've lost weight. Good job. And it'll be like things where I don't weigh myself. I don't know. Like, yeah, maybe that's true. Yeah. Like, I have no idea.
She's got like his eye scan, like the grandma eye scanners, but they're like, yeah, 5 pounds heavier.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, she like is weighing me with her eyes. Yeah, I'm like, you're psychotic. Yeah. But she like starves my grandpa too. Oh, no. It's so, what? They're so weird.
Dude, foreign, like people who live in America, like it's, I mean, even in wherever country they're from, it's just so. It, like, it's not as, like, no one's like, oh, my God, but you got to think about their, like, mental health when you say stuff like that. They're like, no, I don't give a fuck.
Right.
If you're not going to be healthy, I'm going to say it to your face. Yeah. And you're like, but you don't know I'm not healthy.
Right. Yeah. Feeling, but feelings aren't, like, real.
Yeah, feelings don't exist. Right. You can't hurt things that don't exist, right, and I can't hurt your feelings.
I'm like, I actually have low self-esteem now. And my grandma's like, I don't care. Right. Like, what do you need to go, like, do the dishes and, like, clean up. Yeah. You're being messy. Yeah.
They have no concept of, like, hurting feelings because they don't exist.
Yeah, it doesn't, it really doesn't register.
Yeah.
I mean, my grandma, this was so funny, my grandma was a nutrition professor at Kabbalah
Pumona. Oh, well, that's not helpful.
Oh, that gives, but that probably gives her so much, like,
credibility.
Yeah, like, in her mind.
Yeah, yeah. Credibility.
So she's like, I'm allowed to say this because I have a degree.
Yeah. No, like, literally. But, I mean, I think her degree is in, like, some sort of, like, biochemistry, you know, but, like, she also taught nutrition.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's why your mom's obsessed with working out.
Yeah, my mom's like really not weird about food though.
That's
like
good.
She's like really actively like good about food because she's also like, my mom was a freak about food, so it's like, but like her rate my professor things were literally so funny. Like I looked them up one time, and like
I remember that. I forgot about rating professor. Yeah, I know
because we're not in college anymore. But like I looked, and people were like, she like thinks every white person is fat. Like, she, like
oh my god!
Like your she grandma like is she called us all fat. Like,
I'm like, oh jeez. Oh my god, that's hilarious.
She like literally said that, I think someone wrote in the comment, they're like, she said, and I quote, the BMI scale is too generous.
Oh my god. Hell yeah.
That's, like, that should go that should go on a fucking shirt.
The BMI scale is too generous. Oh, worn by like
the world's grandmas. Most body negative person.
Yeah. Wow. Just everyone's grandma gets like, issued that t-shirt. Yeah.
Just, I was going to say put it on a tombstone, but then it sounded too morbid. But now here again, I've already said it. It doesn't matter.
Every grandma gets that shirt.
That's hilarious.
Sure. Every immigrant grandma so is like, you're fat.
You're
it's
fat.
Like, I'm 12 pounds.
Also,
B11.
Like, I guess it's like in like the whatever the 50s or whatever, like people were just so much thinner.
Yeah. Well, it's also just
less food. I mean,
there's like less food. Also, just like I think people drank less milk. I think people like literally had like less dense bones.
Yeah,
I just think like as we progress as a nation,
options, man.
The portions are getting huge. Yeah. It's so cheap to make food.
Yeah,
and
weed's illegal. We're all like, I'm hungry.
Snacking.
Yeah,
that's just me.
Yeah. But like, when you go to Europe, the portions are way smaller, and I think. They're also thinner in Europe because like Americans do have this like very bad stigma.
But they all like smoke cigs. Bigger. I feel like a lot of that is like if like smoking cigarettes isn't like considered like bad, like people, not that I'm saying everyone's thin in Europe because they smoke cigarettes, but like low key, that's what I'm saying.
I feel like I would say that maybe the majority of like, maybe there's like a bigger difference because like people walk more in Europe.
Yeah,
it's just like a different culture.
There's a different culture. Like it's not about like these giant meals. Like no one goes to brunch, I'm sure, and like eats just like 5 pieces of French toast and pancakes and everything. There's like a very traditional.
But they like eat a baguette.
But I also think it's like, I think in America it's like there's something about almost like we have more like forbidden things here, or like that people like, I think people like have more restrictive mentalities, which leads to overeating.
I agree.
Which I think is like really interesting. Cause like, I don't know, like I mean, I'm very into like mindfulness in general, but like I think that there is something about like, if you are like actually thinking about what you're eating, you're not going to overeat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
and it's like the second that you're like, oh, I'm not allowed to have anything.
And then
like,
you're not gonna think about anything else. But
right,
having
exactly. Yeah. Or like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
I always like wonder because I do keto, but then every once in a while I'll cheat and stuff like on the weekend, so I'm like half keto, but because I can't do it.
But I also don't think you should call it cheating. I think you should just call it like, well,
whatever. It's like I'm not like doing keto.
You're just not doing keto.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But cheating makes it sound like you're doing something bad, which I don't want you to feel like you're doing something bad.
Well, a part of me realized like I'm a bad eater though. Like also it's because I smoke weed and I'm like a monster when I'm high. Like I'll go shopping and then like destroy my cabinet. And I'm like, wow, that was supposed to last a month. So like keto helped me be like, you just need to like not eat. And that was right. like, not like not eat, but like eat your meal, but then like don't be like crazy about snacking. Like just yeah. like, mm-hmm. you don't need that extra thing. You know right. what I mean? And that was just like, I had to retrain my mind from years of just being like a stoner idiot, just eating so much and like late night snacking and then like ordering more food and being like, bring all the appetizers because yeah. I'm like stoned and stupid. And then I had to like retrain my brain to be like, oh no, you can just have a meal and then like not keep eating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that right. like taught me a lot to a point where like now when I do not keto, like I'm not constantly like, there was a while where I was like fucked up where I, because I did it for like, I'm over a year of doing this, but like I would eat, but then when I wasn't doing it, I'd be like, well, I have to eat everything I've been wanting to eat this whole time.
Right, which is weird.
And then I'd be like, I'm binge eating now yeah. because I just want to eat it all. Yeah. And then I was like, okay, well now I'm realizing that's also the problem. So now it's like, if I'm not doing keto, I just have to like be very like mindful of like, okay, well, I had that and I'm not hungry anymore. I don't need right. to keep mm-hmm. eating just because I want to taste that food that yeah. I haven't been
but
able to eat.
But it's also like how much do you even really want to taste it when you actually like think yeah. about it? Like, oh, my mom.
Because afterward, it never feels good.
Yeah. Or like even like mm-hmm. while you're eating it. Like, I think about this a lot. I think about like, I thought we learned this in like econ class, I think, but like the idea of diminishing returns. Mm-hmm. So like if you take a bite of chocolate cake, like the first bite of chocolate cake is good. But then every yeah. bite after that, like you're not really getting any more from it yeah. than you were from the first one. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't know, like I think it's just like literally being like, oh, am I still even getting anything from this? Like this is still even yeah. like fun. Or like my mom talks about this all the time, but like if you have things that are off limits, you're like, you think that you want so much of it, but you actually don't. Like she was, so she was like, I did this, she was like, when I was a teenager, I like did this experiment with myself where I was like, okay, I'm gonna eat, let myself eat whatever I want. She's like, and I always was like, I'm afraid of cheese, so I'm just gonna like let myself eat as much cheese as I want. And then she goes, and that's when I realized I don't like cheese. But it's like this thing yeah. where you like trick yourself into thinking that yeah. you like need stuff.
Yeah. yeah. It's weird. It's like yeah. once you like reprogram and whatever, like just like realize these things, you're like, oh, I don't even like care. Yeah. Like yeah. I don't actually. And now when I get high, I'm like, I'm hungry, but I just like, I know I'm not really hungry.
Yeah, like it's I like had a dinner thing.
Like I just will just be like, I feel hungry, but I'm not yeah. actually gonna go walk to the kitchen. I'll just like hang out and watch yeah. TV or whatever. Like it's just I've come a long way
yeah
changing my diet from being a stony bitch.
I think it's really hard. I think it's a miracle to like go anywhere in the world and not meet and like not. I feel like everyone has had some type of eating thing or like just food thoughts, and it's hard to just like learn to intuitively eat, especially when like you. I don't know. Like I don't eat meat or cheese, but I don't want to. But coming from someone that's had an eating disorder, is that also just, I've thought about it so many times, just like, mm-hmm. am I just still restricting myself?
Right.
And then, I don't know, you have to do things for the right reasons to see how your body feels good. And I think that's like what I've realized is like, if I feel good, I'll keep doing it. And if yeah. I don't, I won't.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
It's a cool thing when you realize like, oh wait, that. It's like, I like really struggle because, you know, I get high and I forget I had these thoughts, but like, I'm like, I was not happy after I ate that meal. Like, yeah, it smelled and looked good, but then afterward I was like, oh my God, I like ate too much.
Yeah.
And then it's like, but I always feel so much better when I don't eat that like that.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, okay, just try and remember that. Yeah. I'm always just trying to remember I've had these thoughts. I'm like, just remember, like, you don't like that.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
I just live my life being like, remember. I know you got really high, but like remember.
Well, that's how I stay vegan most of the time. Is because like if I think ice cream looks good, I'll just remember the last time it fucked my body up, and I'll just be like, ice cream doesn't love me back.
Yeah,
so, that's so.
You don't feel good. I'm gonna stay vegan. Whatever.
Okay,
I will eat a burger after this, and I'm sure.
We're gonna be right back. One more commercial break, and we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge.
You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
And we're back. Wow.
What is a collagen peptide?
I actually have no idea
what it is.
I don't know. I think I heard a beauty guru explain it in a video.
And I don't remember.
For vital proteins.
Is it just make your, face collagen pop?
No, apparently, you can't ingest collagen and have it, go back into your face. It doesn't help with skin stuff. It's, a different thing.
Yeah.
If you want, your skin to be more elastic, you have to get, injections.
That's a whole commitment.
Right.
We're too young for
that. Yeah, I don't really get collagen peptides. But everyone's always like, you got to get collagen peptides. Make a drink. Collagen peptides. Put it in water.
Everyone tells you to do everything. Yeah. And it's just
It's all a racket. It's all to sell shit.
I hate it so much.
Yeah. No, it really bothers me.
The fact that I know about vital proteins also because people are sponsored.
Yeah,
and they talk about it.
People talk about it so much.
It's just you can't trust anything anymore. Everything on Instagram or anything. I used to follow some YouTubers when I was in college and high school, and I would look at their favorites every once in a while to be oh, this person's skin is good, and they've probably tried so many things, and I'll see what their favorite face wash is or something.
Yeah.
But now I really can't trust anything because everyone gets sponsored or paid, and I don't know. It makes it feel like we're all being monitored. I don't know.
I literally think it's the less that you're fucking with things, the better off you'll be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Just let it happen.
Just let it, let yourself live.
Simplest thing, you just wash your face at night and put a moisturizer
on. Yeah.
Right. That's
And unless you have a hormone thing, that will probably be fine.
Yeah.
For you
just have to make sure you don't sleep with dirt on your
head.
Yeah. Or you just makeup. Just don't just make sure you're fresh, your face is clean.
What I've realized is that so many problems come from stress. And I know so many people say that, but when you're stressed, your cortisol goes up.
Yeah.
That can lead to acne, weight gain, fatigue, all these problems that people think they're it's really similar to depression, honestly, if not related so much. But I think teaching ourselves to lower our cortisol, which is meditation, mindfulness is huge. Living in the moment, not a future tripping, I think is an amazing phrase that I feel I really need to absorb for myself. It's to do less of because it's so easy to do in this city. but I think being mindful and just being aware of stress and the stress we put on ourselves. So this idea of always having to be productive and achieving everything when really that pressure leads to so many problems.
Yeah. It's also just I get that, everyone feels they don't have enough time, but it's when you really look at it, it's everyone has this sounds so dumb. I sound an idiot, but it's you do have a lot of time.
Yeah.
There's no real rush. Everyone works at their own pace.
So. Yeah. I've been struggling to really implement that in my life. Because I really hate that saying that people say where it's like, Beyonce has the same amount of hours in a day as you do. Because I'm just like, well, she's also Beyonce. She has personal trainers. She has all these people helping her. Yeah. It doesn't,
she has like a
fair.
Support staff.
I know.
It's not really the same
it's
thing.
It's not fair for me to compare my life to like Beyonce or like her productivity rather to my productivity. Because sometimes I don't like, no one's always going at full speed at all times. And that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it's.
Yeah, but I feel like Beyonce sleeps less, right? She probably has more hours in a day. I don't know.
No, I feel like she probably sleeps like a normal amount.
You think?
I don't know.
I feel like people like get up early.
I feel like that's like weird old men who like get up really early.
That's my dad.
My grandpa gets up very early. My dad gets up really early. Walks
5 a.m. and is like, what do I do today? And I'm like, go back to bed.
I mean, that is all old people. I think like your cycle resets and you just start
getting
up.
They also probably
really
go
early.
To sleep at like 9 p.m., right?
Yeah.
Maybe. So that probably makes sense to wake up early if you go to sleep early. Wow, this conversation's riveting.
So do you guys think
what makes sense? Yeah, what makes sense sleep wise?
Well, I hate getting up early. It's like
it's hard. It's hard for me because it's cold. That's
how
the thing.
Early is early. I feel like my like what I think is early has like changed so much because I like only hang out with like people who are like in comedy. So I don't even know what people consider early.
I naturally wake up at 8 a.m. every morning and I hate that.
Okay, me too. I wake up around like 7:45.
Yeah. It drives me crazy.
Yeah, that's standard. I think early is like 5.
Yeah.
Like, right.
That's fucking early.
Yeah, that's early.
5 is early.
Yeah. Like I did a lot of like commercial work back in the day, and when we'd have to get to set, like when our call time was 5 a.m., that was brutal. Because like we'd have to like, depending on where it was, like wake up at 4, commute or whatever.
That's crazy.
And it's like dark outside. Yeah.
But there's something nice to like being up when it's dark. Like,
it's wild.
Cool.
It's kind of wild.
Yeah.
And you know, like seeing the sunrise on your way to work or wherever is kind of a trip.
Yeah.
But, okay.
I hate that.
It's weird. I want to talk about you again because that's why you're here. What's your life like right now? What's a day in the life of Dana? Like, what do you do?
Okay, let's see. So usually I wake up, I go to a workout class, or I try to at like 9:30. So I wake up like 8, then I kind of like lay in bed and I like think of tweets. A lot of my day is like thinking of tweets.
Yeah.
What a life. I love it.
Yeah. And then I go to a workout class around like 9:30, and then I usually like I drive around a lot, like thinking. So I'll like drive around for an hour sometimes and then I'll come home. I am like working on, I have to write my like whatever, my writing sample. So I've been working on that. And then at like starting at like 5 p.m. I start going to mics usually.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And then I just do that every day. And then sometimes I have like auditions, you know. But that's kind of what I do. Most of my day, is spent like thinking of tweets and like thinking of jokes.
I mean, it works. They're funny.
Really fun. Thank you. I'm really whining here.
You're really whining.
Mining.
Oh, mining.
Yeah.
I was like, whining.
Yeah. I literally I'm like thinking about like, okay, what's happened to me? Like, how can I exploit my trauma for
What does your mom think about your tweets? Like,
my mom really likes them.
Really?
Yeah.
Because some of them are kind of like, I mean, the majority of them, if not a lot of them, are about like relationships and sex and boys.
Yeah.
But, like, are you guys pretty open about that stuff?
She's really open. It really freaks me and my sister out. Like, my mom is so weird and like sexual and like this way that's like,
I want to meet your mom.
She's so strange.
I love your mom.
She's really funny. She's really nice. She's like a very supportive lady. Like, she like really likes my tweets.
That's really nice.
Yeah, and she like really likes my Instagram, and like her friend, she and her friends all like read my tweets.
That's so wild.
It's really funny. But it's like, I don't know, she'll be like, just, you know, like a lot of your tweets are relatable to like women in their 50s. I'm like, Jesus. Like, oh,
wow. You're for all ages.
I guess so, according to my mom. Oh, no.
Is your mom like dating again or is
so that's like a part of it too, I think.
But she's like, these dudes are ghosting me.
Yeah, like literally.
She sends you texts being like, what should I say?
But she had a boyfriend for a little bit, but I think they broke up. So I think she's dating again.
Oh. Does she ask for advice?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, like, kind of, but I don't really like to give her advice.
You're like, mind your own.
Like, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
You were married. Figure it out again.
Right, exactly. Like, you can do it. Yeah.
You can do
it. She's
it.
Actually really good with men,
That's
I
good.
Think. Like, in a way that I'm not really.
I mean, she works out and she loves it.
Yeah.
She's sexy, as you said yourself.
I mean, yeah, sexy. In a way, I guess.
So your mom is sexy, true false. Oh. That's what we want to talk about. Oh. Your sexy mom.
My sexy mom.
I just can't wait for you guys all to live together. I'm waiting for that to happen.
Oh my God. Yeah, I'm really excited.
You guys can hit the town together. Hollywood together.
Yeah. We'll go to clubs in Hollywood.
Yeah. Does your sister help you with your auditions?
Sounds horrible.
Kind of. Like, she'll read lines with me. Mm-hmm. But she's really jealous. No, I'm just kidding. She's so jealous. She's sabotaging me. No, I'm kidding.
She's like, you did great. Say it with an Irish accent. I think I'll really like that.
They'll think that's a cool choice.
Yeah. Hilarious. She's great. She's very helpful.
That's cool. So nice. Yeah. You made me miss my sisters.
Sisters are great.
Yeah.
I think it's the best kind of relationship.
It's the best.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for coming to the show. What do you have, how do people follow you? Tell them about you, where they can see you.
Okay, so you can see me online on Twitter at Dana D only, because I can't get my handle.
Really?
I don't know. Who has it? And then on Instagram, I'm at Hottest Dana. That's a joke.
Sure it is.
It's a joke. It's a joke. That's funny. You can see me just around Los Angeles. I don't know. Follow me on Instagram. I post about shows.
You have a regular show, don't you?
I do. I have a monthly show called Funnelingus, which currently is a junior high in Hollywood. Our next one's January 31st. I don't know when this is going to be posted. We are moving venues, I think, soon to Hotel Cafe, which is also in Hollywood. Yeah.
Hotel Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
Funnelingus. Oh, that's like right here.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
They're really doing comedy now?
Yeah, it's new. Whoa. So they did their first comedy show, I think in December. Uh-huh. And then we asked about it, and they were like, yeah, sure, do it.
Wow.
Yeah. So starting February, we will be at Hotel Cafe. It's a cool venue.
Yeah.
So I think it'll be really fun.
I saw my friend's band play there, but that's
like, yeah, it's like usually music.
Cool, you're right.
Yeah,
right. You either have a band or you have you're a stand-up comedian. So
if you're my friend and you're in a band, stop inviting me.
Oh my God,
I just cannot feign any more excitement. Oh, great! I love that song.
Do they write their own music? What kind of music is it?
What kind of music does he play? It's been a while. I follow him on Instagram, but I don't like click when there's like audio.
Like audio off. Audio not on.
No, thank you. It's like he was in a big band, but he's like made his money like writing for like pop stars. So he can write, but like I just like I don't know. I don't care. I just don't care anymore. I'm getting at that age where I'm like, yeah, cool.
Yeah, right. Okay,
but it's like you don't want to have to like see your friends work. I feel like that's like.
Yeah, I like hanging out with them, but
if I
worked
at a bank, I wouldn't tell you to come watch me work at the bank. So.
Do you want to come like watch me count?
Right, but it's like that's kind of like with comedy and I get like people like want to right now because like I just started doing it or whatever. But I'm like, I would never expect anyone to come.
That's
my friends. I wouldn't expect to come.
Like if you like, I'll do like poetry reading sometimes and I'll post about on my Instagram and like if someone comes because I post about it, great. Yeah. But I would never text someone being like, are you gonna come to my poetry reading?
Exactly, right.
Like I would never.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna force you to do this.
Yeah.
But there was someone like if one of my friends I hadn't seen in a while showed up to my last one because she was like, yeah, I saw your post. I thought I would come, and I was like, that's amazing. Like, if you're able to come, you live nearby, you're there,
and you want to, that's awesome.
That's great. That's what I want. Fun. But yeah, I would never be like, are you coming?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, like when I used to dabble in comedy, like, I think my first couple times, like, my friends were there and like they filmed it or something, but like, I don't know.
The first couple times, it's like a novelty.
Yeah. They're like, look at her, she's on a stage.
Right. It's like someone supporting you.
Yeah,
it's like nerve wracking.
Yeah. Yeah. At least one person will laugh, you know.
Your friends.
Exactly,
Forced laughter.
Don't invite him again. Okay, you are a delight.
I can't wait to go on Twitter
and read what you're going to tweet next.
Thank you.
We're waiting. No pressure. Imagine us just sitting here like...
No pressure, though.
I just realized
maybe that makes you feel even more pressure to be funny. Does it make you feel...
What?
If we're like, we can't wait to read your tweets, or like, we think your tweets are great.
No, I have my own... Like, it's my own pressure. It's internal.
Okay.
I also really like it. It helps me so much, like, with joke writing and stuff.
Yeah.
It's kind of getting it.
Fuck yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I like that.
We're gonna plug ourselves now. By that, I'm just going to mean that sound. Huh? Never mind. We're ethnically ambiguous.
Peg yourself?
I said plug. Uh-huh. But this sounds the same. It's ethnically ambiguous. Ethnically amb, A-M-B on Twitter, and ethnically ambig, A-M-B-I-G on Instagram. I am Shireen. I'm Shirohero on Instagram. S-H-E-E-R-O-H-E-R-O. And then Shirohero666 on Twitter.
She's the devil.
Yep. Doing the Lord's work.
And I'm at Anna Hosnier on Twitter. And my Instagram, still private, baby.
Woo!
Wow.
Though I recently realized I should delete half my followers because, like, my engagement is low. These people aren't even liking. Why do I have so many followers?
I mean, I think people are on Instagram less, honestly.
Do you think that's true? I don't think so.
I have, like, poor engagement.
Maybe I'm just trying to avoid it.
If you're not engaging, you shouldn't be following me.
I think, like, people on Instagram, I mean, like, every time I post, I lose like 50 followers.
Me yeah. too.
But what? I really think it's that on Instagram, people follow like more willy-nilly, but then they also unfollow more willy-nilly.
Yeah.
So it's like they'll follow you randomly as a one-off. And then the second that you post, you remind them that you exist. And they're like,
they're
I don't know who this is. Or like, I don't know who this is. And then they unfollow you.
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, I can't post without losing followers. Yeah. But
I haven't. Well, then again, I haven't posted since like November, December. And yeah. I've lost like 200 followers since that time. And I'm just
people
like.
People on Instagram unfollow. Like if you're not active, they'll just unfollow you.
And that makes me sad. That you keep like, all you your never followers. Cared.
Yeah. Well, my I'm private. I only approve people who this is really stupid.
Fans
who follow me, who want to follow me, who request.
Yeah.
I make. And if they, I tell them, I'm like, if you really, really, truly want to follow me, even though I have nothing going on in my life, you send me a message and you pledge to be nice and not leave it. Like, no negative
That's
comments.
So
like, you leave.
Funny.
I make them take a pledge in my messages.
That's
in my
hilarious.
DMs. And if they approve, because then later I can come back and be like,
you promised.
How dare you? You promised. And
I'm
now
going
you are
to sue.
Out. Yeah. Now I'm like, sorry, you know, fool me once.
Shame on you.
Yeah. Exactly. You. So, but then everyone else I let follow me is only people I know in real life
or
work with or are my family or whatever. So I haven't like built up enough for them to like be unfollowing me.
Got it. Like it also it's like people who have like tried hard to follow you. They're not just gonna like unfollow.
They've taken a pledge.
They worked hard to get
a pledge to follow.
Also, when you try to unfollow someone that's private, it'll tell you like, "Are you sure?
Right, yeah. Are you sure?"
And they probably are just like, "I guess not."
I know. You know? No, yeah, you're right.
Like I've lost a few friends, like because you know, like. And they unfollow me, and then it's like, that's
like
fine.
For their ratio? Yeah.
Or I don't know, like maybe just because we haven't spoken in a long enough time.
Okay. The ratio is such bullshit.
But if you unfollow me.
I mean, it's like the Kardashians, none of them follow more than 200.
That's crazy.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
These bitches trying to act like they don't have more than 200 friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you don't make it to that cut, then you know you're not a real friend, I guess.
Yeah. Because I was like, because people were like when they all stopped using their one stylist, everyone's like, oh my God, they all unfollowed her. And then someone else was like, it's probably just for their ratio. Like, it's probably not even personal. It's like these people just don't follow.
They're trying to act like they're so exclusive.
Yeah. I think they're trying to act like they, you know, it's only the
well,
real.
Doesn't like Selena Gomez not follow like anybody? Like there are a couple celebrities.
Yeah, there are a couple
that
celebrities that follow no one.
Yeah.
Or follow like one account.
Yeah. Or
but
like
one random account.
Yeah.
What do they look at?
They don't. That's just like their presence. Like
they probably have an account where they lurk.
That's true. I know people, like famous people who have like a friend of mine, like an acquaintance. I mean, we're friends, whatever. She accosted me at a party. So I was like, I guess we're friends.
Right.
But she's like 13 million followers. And I'm like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
13 million followers?
Yeah,
like, who are you?
Right.
And then she's like, I have a personal account.
Yeah.
That's like my real account.
Yeah.
But then like, so it's like, you're seeing all like photo shoots, me, like I'm so cool and whatever, I'm doing things.
Mm-hmm.
But then they post, like their real life is actually on their fake.
Right.
Not fake. The real, not nondescript that you would never know.
The Rinsta.
Yeah,
you heard it here first.
The Rinsta is
where I feel
where
young.
What if I do that? What if I make a Rinsta on top of my already?
Honestly,
real friends follow this site.
It's like really funny to me when like we have my friends who like don't even like don't have I guess it's because they have jobs, but it's like they like real jobs where they you get in trouble for being weird on the online. But like they all have like Finstas, and I'm like, what? I'm like, your real Instagram has like 300 followers, presumably all only people you went to high school with. So like, what's your Finsta for?
Wow.
What do I know?
Yeah, I have like 700 followers. I'm about to cut it down.
I'm gonna do like half because like y'all are engaging.
Yeah,
I'm about to like look through and like who likes.
Yeah,
you don't like? You out?
You out? You out?
That's a real cutthroat. Shereen, you better pick up that like count. Oh, I'm about to cut out. You have to follow me on my other Insta.
Brutal.
I'm about to like lose all my friends. Yeah. They're all like, hey, podcast, and you're being really shitty.
Thank you again for being here.
Yes, yeah, thank you again for having me.
You're hilarious. We love you. And
come back again.
Yeah, please
thank
come back.
Thank you so much. I'd love
if something else comes up. Your sister eats something else. Come
back. Let us know. Yeah.
Let us know. Yeah. Keep us updated on what she's eating.
Yeah.
I might go look at yours. I'm just out of pure thing
I'm gonna do.
Because now I know.
She's at Eve fucking Donnelly on Instagram. And
that's where she that's where she went viral.
Yeah, on Instagram. She's just, like, through the Explore page and stuff like that. And then on YouTube, I think she has, like, whatever, like, 100,000 subscribers.
She should give you commission for
every time you talk about
plugging
her
account.
All of her channels are demonetized. So she, like, isn't making money off of YouTube
anymore.
Wait,
so how does that work? Like, they demonetize it for a certain reason?
Yeah, well, they demonetize you for, like, family-unfriendly content. Like, that's why, like...
If it looks real, too, then that's probably, like... It's amazing on her part for making it look real.
That's why, like, Jake Paul and, like, those people have lawyers literally watch their videos before they put them up, and that's why they bleep out curse words.
Oh, I mean, I never even...
Is so that they don't get demonetized. Yeah. So they, like, literally have lawyers watch and, like, make sure that nothing is violating terms so that they, like, don't get demonetized.
Well, this is probably after they had so much other, like, awful, like...
Well, wasn't he, like, in front of, like, a guy who, like, hung himself?
Yeah, so I'm sure the lawyers don't look at that. But I'm sure after that happened, there's probably more incentive to be, like, we should get someone to always look at our stuff to make sure that
they
we
don't get
are
trouble.
In check.
Yeah.
Because that was fucked up.
But, like, some YouTubers are, like, really, like, just out there, and they get demonetized constantly, and so they have to be, like, brand deals to make money.
Yeah. Well...
She can get, like, a deodorant for it.
Yeah, you'd think.
It's a secret.
You could, too.
Okay, we're going to go now. Until next time.
Stay
glassy.
Stay Donnelly.
Stay Donnelly.
Oh, my God.
Hottest data. Bye.
Bye.
Ethnically Ambiguous is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union, a savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. On sale now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.